Good evening and welcome to Conversations with Crystal. I am your hostess, Crystal. Thank you for joining me again this evening. I hope you're enjoying the artists that I'm bringing to you. Now, this evening's artist is a woman who has a lot of soul and she kind of spellbinds everybody in a roller boogie kind of funky wonderland way. She's a woman for every woman and she likes women to be powerful, and we are. And I think she displays that perfectly. She's an independent artist and she also does backing vocals at times, but I believe her voice has a richness to it, a joyfulness to it that comes out and is showcased in her music. Please welcome Beck Jensen. Hi, Beck. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Crystal. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm really fantastic. Thank you very much. I know you've got your little puppy there. Oh, you're very welcome. I know you've got your little puppy there. So if she makes some noise, that's totally fine with us as well. Because they're all.
Thanks, everyone.
What I've found is that the animals, the doggos especially, love sitting in with you when you're playing guitar or singing.
Oh, it's so true.
Yeah.
So why Josie, would we want to lock them out? My dog Josie is about 15 years old.
And, God love her.
Yeah, she's definitely been raised in the music scene. So she's very, very social. And whenever I get the instruments out, she really likes to be in the middle. So yes. she'll walk over all the leads, all the pedals. Sometimes she might step on a pedal and you get new sounds. but she loves to just go in the middle and lie in the middle and then just enjoy the rhythm and the
vibrations. Absolutely. Yeah. Isn't that fantastic thing about animals?
Oh, it's just beautiful. Yeah.
And
sad she's getting old.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
What kind of puppy is she?
Well, she's a Kelpie cross. We think she's a cross Staffy. I found her.
Oh.
Or actually, I should say, the truth is she found me. And yep. I've never had a dog find me before. One day I went to the gym and it was a really windy morning. Mm-hmm. And when I came home, I parked the car out the front of my house and I was sitting there and I looked up, you know, when you pull up, you know, you put your handbrake on, you look up, and there was a puppy that looked really young, like 10
baby.
Weeks or so. Yeah, like baby puppy. And I saw it, no lead on, no collar, no human.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. And I started like freaking out a little bit and I was like, whoa. And I was looking for a person and I got out of the car and I went, hey, puppy. As soon as I said that, she beelined me and ran so fast and actually ran up my body. And wrapped her front paws around my neck and she was shaking and I was like, oh, this little puppy. She was so cute and just such beautiful energy. And
I love that she's found you and you found each other. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, very lucky. Now she's lying here, my little old lady.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful. So now that she's sitting there with you, I'm sure she'll go to sleep and she'll be fine.
She will, yeah.
So, Beck, let's talk a little bit about you.
Sure.
I think your voice is just absolutely stunning.
Oh, thank
gorgeous.
You so much.
Yeah.
I love What's that. Your, thank you.
You're welcome. You've been doing singing for very long. How long have you?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been doing it since a young girl, as a matter of fact.
I've always believed that I've come out of the womb singing a high
singing.
C. You know, my screams would have been in tune. both my parents are musicians, so I'm really
awesome.
Very blessed to have inherited my mum's vocal folds.
Yep.
And my dad is a guitarist and I love to play guitar with my dad and he's taught me so much about being a guitarist and continues to. He's my mentor for sure.
Oh, how lucky are you? How lucky.
Yeah, it's been a really great journey. So my mum, her name is Shauna Jensen, and she started in the 70s, I believe, maybe, yeah, 70s, late 60s. Did some touring and did some shows, and my father started, I think he got his first guitar when he was about 11 or 12. His brother was a bass player as well. In fact, the story I love to tell about that is that he and his brother used to hang out with the Bee Gees brothers when they were young, and they used to play together and write songs and like just sort of cut their teeth with each other. Such a cool story.
How cool is that? Yeah.
And Dad tells stories about, you know, going to King's Cross when he was 14, 15 years old with his brother and just hanging out the bars, absorbing all the music that they possibly could, you know, and then racing home to be home for you know, bedtime or can't quite remember how the story ends, but, you know, I'm sure there's a few secrets Dad holds under his chest.
I bet he does too. Yeah. Now, did your mum and dad ever do a band or a duo together?
Well, they did. They were both in the original cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. And
wow, fantastic.
Before that, they went on tour to Korea, I think. I've never been quite sure what they're actually doing there. I don't know, it's something that just sort of didn't stick around, but they they came back. They were very young. Mm-hmm. And they came back and they, I think, auditioned for this musical, and Mum was in the chorus and Dad was in the pit as the lead guitarist.
Yeah.
And my mum and her best friend, Rosa Shields, and another lady, I can't remember her name, I think it was I don't want to say the wrong name. But the three of them were pregnant. And I was born just coming out of that season of Jesus Christ Superstar. And my best friend also, we're 6 weeks apart.
Oh, wow.
And so my mum's best friend had her kid, and her kid and myself are best friends as well. So we're kind of like sisters, you know.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm an only child, and you know, I think being an only child, sometimes you crave to have a sibling, but that never happened. So,
well, you've got, you know, a soul sister.
I absolutely do. I have more than one, which is very lucky. But
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really nice. Mum and Dad still play. They still perform, and they have done incredible shows throughout their careers. My mum has toured with pretty much all of the iconic heritage artists of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she'd be on the records too from the 80s and late 70s. And Dad was touring with Judy Stone and he did the National Bandstand
tour. Cool.
And he did that for quite a while, and Little Patty, and in the 80s he had a band called the Mighty Guys. They were like a rockabilly band, and he also had another band called the Ferrets.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a single or two that did pretty well as well. So Dad's had his fair share in the, you know, in their youth and then or youthful days. and then, you know, he also played in nightclubs all around, as Mum did, and my parents separated when I was quite young.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great being able to, you know, grow up on the side of a gazillion stages across the country, you know.
How wonderful.
Raised, yeah.
Yeah, how wonderful.
Yeah.
There would be a lot of people very envious of that, Beck.
Oh, you reckon?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And so you said your dad still plays guitar. Does he still perform around the traps?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't tour much. Actually, Mum doesn't tour a great deal, but Dad lives up on the back of Byron.
Okay, right.
Yeah, in the Northern Rivers, that's what we call it. Yep. And then he's been doing local gigs. He's been he has been finding it a bit tricky. I think the music industry can be a bit ageist. I want to be hopeful that that's changing. But they've had their struggles as they've gotten older. And I know a lot of older musicians as well. Like, a lot of them are their friends and colleagues.
Of course, yeah.
And you see them go through different eras of their career, you know.
Yeah.
It just can be hard. You know, Dad did clubs for decades. You know, All Nations Club and, you know, clubs in the Cross and all across the country. And then he had this really great band recently, Chevy Express. And they did that.
Ah, yes.
Oh, you know them, do you?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, the Chevy Express, they played, you know, great rock and roll songs, like great songs that you could do old rockabilly dancing to. But, you know, they're in their 70s and I don't know, like they're just really finding it hard. Plus, you know, when you get a little bit older, you go through those different stages of
and lugging things gear isn't as much fun.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what you get a roadie for.
It's all about finding the lightest gear possible.
Well,
but
and
look,
you know
he's still playing and I love it. Yep. I love it.
And that's the main thing that, Now, what kind of a guitar does he play?
Oh, good question. My dad plays a 335 that he has made himself.
Wow.
He called it the Eisenberg. And ordered some pieces and made that himself. He also has an original cherry red Stratocaster 1963, I think it is.
Ooh,
which would
be
worth quite a bit of money at the moment.
Yeah.
So he bought that when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
Has held on to it ever since.
Has he passed down any guitars to you?
Look, yes, absolutely. For a very long time, the only guitars I had were from my dad.
lovely.
Yeah. I've had an interesting relationship with the guitar. It's not been, I wasn't handed a guitar and had the feeling of, oh, this is it, I'm going to be a guitarist for the rest of my life.
Right.
I think my first guitar was a nylon string and I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this very distinct memory of sitting down in front of my record player with Pink Floyd.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
Taught myself how to play Wish You Were Here.
Oh, wow. Good on you.
You know that great intro? Boom, boom, yes. Down, down. And it's just two chords, you know?
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed learning how to play some kind of melody on something else that wasn't a voice.
Yeah.
I have been singing since I was a young age. So it did have that feeling. And then, you know, I went through my teens and I was playing a little bit through my teens, but learning chords and learning how to support myself as a singer.
Yeah.
I did a show, I think, or no, not a show, it was a open mic night in a cafe in the area that I grew up in when I was 13. And I
good on you.
Yeah, I think I sang a, I think it was a, oh, Bobby McGee, me and Bobby McGee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Janis Joplin, yeah.
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 Yeah, and I think an Aretha Franklin song, I can't remember which one it was. It might also maybe Eleanor Rigby because they're quite easy chords as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my first gig with a guitar and just me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, then I went through my teens and got to sort of the end of my teens and I didn't want to play it anymore. I had a bit of a rough moment in my teens. Yeah, as most people do.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I left school when I was at the end of year 10. And my reasoning was that I just wanted the stage. I just have that very clear memory of saying to Mum, I can't do this anymore. I just need to play. I need to sing. Please let me do it. And she was like, yes, of course, you know.
Fantastic. How great is it to have a supportive parent? You're so lucky. Very blessed.
Yeah, thank you.
Very blessed.
And so, yeah, I just sang. I went straight into town. We were living, I grew up out of town in Sydney, but on the North Shore. And in a lovely little town called Avalon.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Palm Beach and Whale Beach.
Lovely,
and,
beautiful. Yeah,
Newport.
Beautiful.
And then it was, you know, it's very small though, you know, the Insular Peninsula, they called it. And I just wanted to be in the big smoke. So I moved into town and I started playing with the great legend Jackie Orzowski. Do you remember him?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And I was 16 when I did my first show with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was just mind-blowing. I mean, working with Jack was an education, you know.
Oh, I can imagine it would have been. Absolutely.
Yeah, and he had the – you know, the Rose of Australia in Erskineville going for so many years. And
Yes.
He would often ask me to come and sing when I got to sing some great songs with him and Tina Harrod and Jade McRae and so many wonderful singers and musicians. And it was always, pardon me, a packed night every week.
Yeah. And then
I did
so
some
wonderful
tours. Yeah, I did some touring with him, which was good.
Yeah.
And I was also then joined a band called Raw Sugar.
How did you find those guys?
Well, so I was singing with my mum. Mum had a residency in a venue called Springfields. A lot of people might know that venue. Do you know that venue?
I have heard of it, yes, but I'm
great.
Not
been, it used to be called the Mansell Room.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's in Springfield Street or Springfield Lane or something, just off the main street of King's Cross.
Yeah.
And Mum had a residency there that started at 1 a.m. every Sunday night. And,
oh my goodness!
Yeah, and you know, Mum loved it so much, and every Sunday she'd go in, and I remember her coming home, and I wanted to hear all the stories. I wanted to know what she did and what songs did she play, and I'd always, you know, hear Mum practicing them at home and stuff. And I remember saying to her one day, like, "Mum, can I come in, please?" And she was like, "Yeah, come on, come in." You know,
wow.
I mean, I was pretty young, but I mean, I lived my life like that. You know, I was always you know, sleeping under tables and in dressing rooms, and also watching the shows from the bleachers, you know.
Yeah.
Is that the word, the bleachers? The side stage?
Yeah. Sorry. Did your mum get all dressed up and all very glamorous, I can imagine?
Oh, of course. She's gorgeous. She's so beautiful and such an incredible singer. Anyone who's heard my mum sing, Shauna Jensen, is just always gobsmacked and blown away by her power and authenticity and spirit and soul in her voice. It's really incredible. And I always loved hearing mum sing. And so I went in and I loved it. And then I think I went in again. I loved it. And then this was all during year 10. So I would have been 15, really. And then mum asked me if I wanted to join the band. And I said, yes, absolutely yes.
Oh, hang on, mum. Let me think about that.
She couldn't say yes quick enough. She was really strong and firm about it too. You know, she had incredible musicians working with her, and she said to me, you know, we're going to be really professional about this. And you know, she taught me how to sing backing vocals in particular.
Right.
And it was with another really great singer called Michael Finnegan Young.
I have heard the name,
yeah. Oh, yeah, he has a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he still sings, though. I think we're friends on Facebook, but I don't see his posts of shows or anything, so maybe he's not doing it anymore. But I really loved working with him, and the other musicians in the band sang as well. Uh-huh. And there were musicians from, you know, Rene Geyer's band and Wawani and Rex Go on guitar and, just really great musicians and special guests and things like touring artists from overseas and from around the country. And
that's so exciting, so exciting.
It really was. And so, you know, when that happened, I said to Mum, look, I can't go to school on Monday because it's too hard. I was really struggling. Hey, you know, just school. Going back a few years, school was not easy for me. And I was just so focused on the music, really. Wanting the stage and to sing. And, you know, when I first went into high school, the first thing I did was go and find the bands, and I joined the jazz band, and then my first performance in front of the school, which is like 1,000 kids, Misty. How does it go? I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. I get misty just holding your hand. I was like 13 or 12 or something. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
And I bet they were all gobsmacked, weren't they?
Yeah. I've made my mark.
Yes. My work is done.
Yeah. So I was performing with her, and then, you know, so going back to your question, there was a support band, and the support band was a band called Raw Sugar. Yeah. And there were a bunch of young fellows, two brothers, Michael and John, and Serge Coniglione on bass, and a guitarist named Danny. Mm-hmm. And I just thought they were awesome. Like, I was like blown away. You know, they were young and I was young. And I was, just going, wow, these guys are cool. And then it got to the point where I was saying to Mum, can we please go in early? Like, I want to see the band. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, we go in and, they'd walk off stage and be like, oh, that was so good, you know, and be all like that. And then sure enough, after – well, actually, I thought I had the hots for the guitarist. I thought he was, you know, quite a peacock, you know. He was throwing his hair about and coming, put his foot on the fallback wedge and doing all that stuff. And then one night, after it had been a few months, the singer of the band came up to me and asked me on a date. And his name was Michael.
Yeah.
And I accepted and we went on a date. And then we were together for about nearly 30 years.
Yeah, right. And you sang with Raw Sugar.
Yes. So there was a moment when he asked me to join the band.
Yes.
And I accepted. Mm-hmm. And then when I joined the band, some pretty exciting things happened. We were signed to a label. We were signed to Mushroom Festival, and we got some airplay on Triple J. And
oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So we had some things going for us, and we were going on the festival scene. So we ended up playing lots of venues in all of the states. I don't think we made it down to Adelaide, though. I think we just did the East Coast, Melbourne, Sydney, Queensland. We did it a lot of times. It was just up and down and up and down and up and down. And, you know, now I'm doing it again, which is great.
It's great. Well, what a fantastic achievement at such a young age.
Yeah, you know, I was 18.
Wow. What a great achievement. Good on you, and congratulations on that.
Thanks, beautiful. You're so kind. How lovely to hear that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So now you just mentioned you're doing it again.
Yeah.
Are you going to go more south this time, maybe, or across to the west?
Over to WA.
Yes.
I have a few people asking me to get over to WA. You know, of course
Do
I
it.
Would. I would love to. It's just if the money is there.
Money. That's it. All boils down to the money. You know what you should do? Do what Slim did, Slim Dusty.
What's that?
And you book a gig in every town along the way.
Yeah.
So you pay for your trip.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Well, it's kind of how it goes. So the album came out in the album Energy that I just released.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in August. We've been started locally, doing some gigs locally, then moving out a little bit more, and I've just done an Adelaide run, which was really great. And
you got to Adelaide.
Yes, got to Adelaide. There.
Yeah.
Which was a fantastic run. We did four venues.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year we're looking at Victoria and Adelaide again. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, hopefully, you know, just branching out. It's really about trying to find the places where the music is going to fit and the community in that area is going to be welcoming to the kind of music that I make. And I think a lot of communities around the country are open to new things.
Absolutely, and they are.
And when you have an artist that's from the Big Smoke and rolls into a town that has 2,000 people in it,
yeah,
they're going to be either really judgy or really into it.
Well,
I was a bit worried when I went into Adelaide. Sorry to interrupt. When I rolled into Port Pirie in Adelaide, and
I've been there. Yes, I know where that is.
Yeah,
right, Port Augusta and then Port Pirie. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit nervous because it's a workers' town, and here I come with my big soul sound. some people just like people want familiarity.
Yeah, they do. They do. Well, what I was going to say is what I've found is because we do a lot of regional towns and because we're billed as 60s, 70s, 80s, right? So they know what they're getting and they're just like, oh, my God, I haven't heard that song for years. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's great.
The nostalgia.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we get in there. But what we found is people love, and we've had people say, we just love something different. Well, and different faces, different faces too.
Sure. And what I think what I really love about my new music and probably all the music I've made, like, but particularly this new album, is the songs have a nostalgic feel to them.
Yes.
So there's there's elements of newness where people go, I don't know this song, but then it has like a catchy hook or some words that touch the soul or the heart. And I'm really proud of that element.
Yeah.
I want to keep doing it.
Yeah, well, I think you should for sure. Now, you've mentioned that the album is called Energy and you've sent me a song called Energy and it's a little bit fun and a little bit sexy and a little bit cute. And I think we should listen to it right about now.
Oh, yeah, get it.
Listen to that.
Thank you.
It's as promised, fun, sexy, cute, and lots of energy. Good job. Good job.
Thanks. Oh, I love this track so much. I named the album after it.
Yeah. Now, Beck, I want to talk a little bit about your guitar playing. Of course, you mentioned your dad is a guitar player and was for his life. So did he teach you guitar? Like a formal formal lessons, or just this is what you do?
It's a really interesting question. yes, he has taught me techniques and teaches me techniques.
Mm-hmm.
He's really his best friend was Phil Emmanuel. Who recently passed away, rest his soul. They were really good friends. They played together a lot, and the spirit of Phil was just incredible. His mind, the way he played, was incredible. In fact, I actually stood in the room with Phil about a week before he died.
Oh, and wow!
Phil and Dad were playing, and Dad asked him a question, and Phil said, "Oh, I've got to show you." And he just goes into this room, Dad's studio, mm-hmm. picks up the guitar and starts playing something like, I think it was Bach.
Oh, wow.
He started playing Bach. It was either Bach or Mozart on the guitar, and explaining, you know, the concepts. Now, I could never play in my life like that. I just don't have that in me. And Dad, sometimes he'll say something that really sits with me, and a concept that I have to sit with for some time. And recently he said something to me that really rang for me, bells ringing. And it's a concept that I'm sitting with, and when I practice, I try to implement that. So I'm incredibly grateful for the lessons that Dad teaches me. Sometimes, you know, we have our things that I kind of, I don't know, go up against a little bit. I'm a little bit, shush, Dad, I don't want to do it, you know. And he can be a bit pushy too. And, I have to do it like this, you have to do it. And, you know, he was always like that. But I think that – oh, wow, the cat's going now.
it's okay.
Like I said earlier, my parents split up. So there was, you know, some sort of things there where, you know, when Dad would push up and, you know, saying, you have to do this, you have to, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to, and, you know, be that rebellious child.
I think what Dad was doing, what your dad was doing was he may not have been enunciating himself correctly. It would be like, this is the best way to do it, might have been the better words instead of do it this
but
way.
But he still says that. He still says that today. One of the coolest things I think with my dad is that every conversation we have, he says, oh, Becky, I've just found the best way to play. Literally says that, and he'll say, I don't know why I never found this out when I was younger. Like, this is just, it just makes so much sense.
How good is that? How lucky are you that he's passing that on to you?
I know. You know, I wish I had more of a, I think if I'm really honest with myself, the truth is that the guitar has always been secondary for me. So I haven't had this drive of, oh my God, I love the guitar so much. I want this and I want that and I want to be the best player. Now, if, you know, people like Tommy and Phil Emmanuel and my dad and Peter Northcutt and and Rex Goh and all these people, right? They're incredible guitarists. Even the young fellows that I know as well, they're...
Well, you can mention Ewan Lund for one.
Ewan Lund is great. He's so fantastic. Great. I played with him recently, actually.
He was
lovely.
He is. He really is.
I'm diverting from what I'm saying, though. The thing with these guitarists is they want to be the best. Right?
Yes. Yes.
And when you have people like Stevie Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix and all the, you know, John Mayer and Derek Trucks, like all those amazing guitarists.
Derek Trucks,
Derek Trucks is his name, the
Derek,
guitarist.
Yes.
And they all strive to be the best and be the best and be the best and be the best. And I've only just kind of clicking on to that. I always just thought, oh, you know, guitarists, they just turn up really loud and play too many notes, right? And there are some great ones, of course. Like I have my favorites for sure. And I've worked with so many brilliant guitarists, and I love there's a track on my EP Magic and Art where I wrote a song called She Is Free, and I got Franco Raggett to come in and play. And he's Chris Raggett's son. I don't know if you know Chris Raggett and Franco. Franco plays with Mahalia and Mahalia Barnes and Richard Clapton and other incredible people. But yeah, I called him up. I was like, dude, I've got this track. Can you just come in and play something? And he just came in and just played the most beautiful guitar part. So
nice.
You know, it's not something in me that I go, I hear these, I can just pick out these things. However, when I write, that's another story. Sometimes I'll write a melody on the guitar and the song comes from that. So
beautiful, beautiful.
And as I like, also I'm growing and my relationship with the guitar is changing. And I have a lot more respect for the guitar. I'm diving a lot more into my gear, into the sound, into tone. I mean, I'm on the hunt for another guitar at the moment and I'm very picky. I don't I've really gotten into going into guitar shops and playing different guitars to find the one, you've got to find it, you know.
They've got to speak to you.
Well, they really do, and it's not so much speaking. I think it's about how it feels as well. So I recently bought a new acoustic guitar, and I've never bought an acoustic guitar before. So you asked me before, how has Dad ever given you guitars? And Dad has always given me acoustic guitars and electric guitars.
Interesting.
And there was always, you know, Dad would give me one, I'd be like, I don't like this anymore. And then Dad gives me another one. And he goes, what about this one? And I go, oh, yeah, okay, I'll give this one a go. One of them was a Maton, what was it, I can't remember, 523 or something. It was middle of the road, kind of, it was a workhorse. And I would say that that's really where I cut my teeth to consider myself a professional guitarist. So I went out and I made this choice about 12 years ago or something, where I went, I want to play guitar. That's what I want to do. I want to play guitar and I want to sing. I actually haven't been doing it really for that long. I started as a young person but then I mm-hmm. gave it up in my teens and I didn't play for nearly 20 years.
So you lose, if you don't use it, you lose it a little bit. And how hard did you find it getting back to singing and being able to play? Because it's a little difficult at times, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Look, to be honest, it started with one song. Mm-hmm. And I had written and recorded an album with a great musician called Marty Haley. Mm-hmm. And we released an album in 2007 called Counting the Days. And we were a duo. Lovely. And, yeah, a brilliant guitarist. And it was sort of around then I said to Marty, because we were doing shows in Sydney and really trying to, you know, get the record off the ground. And I said to him, I'd really like to play just one song. So we just started with that, and then it became two songs. And then we started doing more duo shows, and he taught me a few things, songs to play. So that's sort of, you know, I started learning more and more then. And then about 2011, I went and did a contract in Japan. And
oh, wow, how exciting.
Yeah. And that was the reasoning behind that was to play and play guitar and just do these shows. It was six shows a day.
Oh, my goodness. You'd cut your teeth on that, wouldn't you?
I did. And then I came back and just booked show after, like, gig after gig. And, you know, the kind of gigs where, you know, guitarist, singer in the corner of a pub, you know.
Yep, yep.
Playing for a few $100, you know. And and that was...
Hey, it's bread and butter, so, you know.
Yeah, and look, I would do seven gigs a week, you know.
There you go.
Mm. Yeah, so I was really, really doing that. But then the maintenance stopped working for me. Not literally, but it just, I felt like I was working against the guitar.
Okay.
And realized that I wasn't getting the sound that I wanted out of it. And then Dad gave me a Sada Yari, which was built in 1976. And what? Pardon?
I've heard of those. Oh, very nice.
Yeah, they're really, really beautiful. It has bone inlays and bone bridge and nut, and made by a small family in Japan, a small factory family, before they went on to, I think, become Suzuki. Someone left there and went on to become Suzuki. And Dad, this particular guitar had this gorgeous tone, gorgeous tone. And he found it on the side of the road in the 90s in Japan, in Bondi. And the headstock was broken off. And Dad saw it and he went, I'm going to fix that. Mm-hmm. And he fixed it. And then said, here you go, have a crack at this one. And I did quite a lot of gigs on that one to the point where I had to go and find someone, a luthier, who could botch up that fix, because some of the glue was coming off and it was separating a little bit. Yeah. And then I realized this is the wrong workhorse. This needs to be a studio guitar and that's it. You know, so I did spend quite a bit of money on that one to get it to a working place, and then left it for the studio because it's a very old guitar. It just has this problem with it being that it's had a broken headstock and it has affected it.
Yes.
And then Dad tried from there. He was like, try this Fender. That was okay, but it was really quite tough to play. Mm-hmm. I recently being the last 5 years, I was like, I think I'm ready to start finding this one that I'm going to buy that's going to be mine.
Yeah.
And I bought a telly in 2018, a Japanese telly called a Aria Pro. It's called a Buckaroo, but Buckaroo. I like to call it the Beckaroo.
The Beckaroo, I like
the Beckaroo.
That. Now, is that the guitar that you've got in your picture on your website?
No. So there might be one photo of me with the telly, but the photo on my website is with the acoustic guitar that I bought, and it's a Gibson. It's a Gibson Studio.
Oh, you bought a Gibson. Yeah,
I did. It's a Gibson parlor guitar. And it is the most extraordinary guitar that I've ever owned.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. Yes. Now, if you go forward to your
the smile says everything.
Absolutely. If you go forward to your media and bio, you've got the telly there.
Yeah.
There we go. So I knew I'd seen the telly there somewhere. So it's a parlor guitar. In relation to like a Mini Maiden, would it be the same size, smaller, larger?
Yes,
how would you describe it?
It's the same size as the it's a little bit bigger than the Mini Maiden. It's a little bit more. I don't like to compare them because the day that I bought this baby, I played quite a few guitars. I looked at the Mini Maiden, I played it and went, no. The thing with the Maiden is they have their own sound. Well, every guitar has their own sound, but particular makes.
Yeah.
And like I'm not a Cole Clark fan. And I'm not a huge Maiden fan, to be honest. I loved the Maiden when it came out, and got most popular, I think, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And a lot of musicians started to go, the Maiden, and it had a great sound, and there's some beautiful Maiton guitars that of that time.
Yes.
But for me personally, it's not it just sort of didn't have enough body for me, I don't think. And body in tone is what I mean when I say that.
I think you mean bottom end as well, maybe. I do know what you're saying.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I think they all have their own sound. So you could look at a Martin & Co. has its own sound, a Maiton has its own sound, Taylor, Cole Clark, what have you. You know, I was looking at I find the Cole Clarks are very light-headed.
Very chimey. Like, chimey would
chimey,
be the word.
And there's a really nice one called The Angel. But that's just, I don't know, for maybe a young, sweet country singer, you know, that sound would sound really phenomenal. It just didn't suit my voice. So the important thing for me was finding something that worked with my voice.
And that happens to be the Gibson Studio.
It absolutely does, yeah. Yeah, I tried the Taylor, the Mini Taylor, which was around the same price range, and it was very close. I looked at that and I thought, oh, this could be it. I think Jane Barnes has one as well. She was working with one. It's quite a nice sound. It's got beautiful body. And then the Gibson was hanging up on the top, like up high.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I went, oh, do I try it? Do I not? Then pulled it down, plugged it in, and I fell in love straight away. And so that experience, I think, really changed me. Yeah, it changed the way that I view guitars, and it changed the way that I, you know, how I talked about Josie choosing me. I think it's sort of the same with guitars. Like, you have to, it has to make you sing. It has to make you feel something in your belly. It has to make you feel, have a connection. And I think even, you know, they're made out of wood, and I think, and whatever other the elements of the guitar that come together. But, you know, if you go for a walk in a beautiful forest, and you sometimes you might see a tree and you go, oh, this tree is speaking to me, you know, you hear the whispers of it. It's kind of the same.
And, absolutely it is. Absolutely.
Which,
it is.
You know, is expressed beautifully for me with the song Breathe on my album.
And we'll listen to that directly. But what I would like to ask you, on your acoustic, do you use 11s or 12s strings?
Nice question. I have tried 12s on it, and it was too heavy and too hard, so I've gone to 11s. I'm most comfortable with 11s. They bring an evenness to the way that I play. I play a lot of bar chords. I like to push the bottom end. I think that's could just be because of where I'm at with my playing and the kind of shows that I've done. You know, when you play a lot of pub gigs, you have to hold the song in your playing. You have to put the rhythm in. You have to put a bit of the melody in and support you as the singer. And being that I'm a power singer, I like to think of myself. I'm very dynamic. I can sing very softly, and I can sing very, very loudly as well. So I needed something that, can really support that. And I love, I love 11s. I love the 11s on my electric as well.
I was just going to ask that. Did you use 10 or 11s on your electric? Some people use 9s, and I just don't know how they do it. I'm a 10s myself.
Yeah,
I like
great.
The 10s, so, and 11s on the Maton.
Right. I'm using 11s on my guitar, on my electric guitar. So I play, at the moment I'm playing a Fender Jazzmaster in my shows.
Nice.
Thank you. It's another one that Dad gave me.
I love your dad. Can I have your dad too? We've talked a lot about your dad. What's your dad's name?
Oh, Dad's name is Phil Eisenberg.
Eisenberg.
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, g'day, Phil. How you going, man?
Hey, Dad. Dad loves the Jazzmaster too. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes he'll see a photo and he's like, oh, that guitar looks good on you. And, you know, the thing was he found that Jazzmaster brand new. And I also know, have learnt that new guitars need to be worked. They find their groove. And when I got the the Gibson, Dad said to me, play music to it. So when which he plays, Dad plays anything with the string. He loves it. He can play anything. And in the recent decade, he's taught himself to play the fiddle. And he got a fiddle recently and learned a trick where you place either, you know, some sort of radio or speaker of such, and you play the instrument music, and it just helps soften it. Basically.
What a great idea. A fantastic idea.
Yeah. So in the first few months actually of owning the Gibson, I kept putting a little speaker on it. The little Wonder Booms. I put
Yes.
I put that on the body so that the vibrations and the tones and everything kept moving through the wood.
What a fan. I'm going to play Tommy Emmanuel to mine. See if I can play like Tommy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, any musician, because the Gibson is such a great guitar as well, like any – I actually recently, before the album Energy came out, Jane Barnes asked me to be her opening support for her show that she did recently.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Called the Jane Barnes Band.
Yes, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, so we did a run for a couple of months of doing small theatres, basically around her home because she didn't want to travel too far, which is so gorgeous, so Jane. but, yeah, with Danny Spence was on that tour, and anytime I saw him I was like, Danny, can you just play something, have a little go on this.
He'd
you know, bend the strings and do all those beautiful riffs and things on it, but yeah, I'm getting better at it. And so with the Fender, the Jazz Master, Dad picked it up new, and when he gave it to me, he said, can you, you know, see if you like it, and if you like it, It needs to find its groove. So yeah. I've been playing the Jazz Master for 4 years, maybe. You know, he even asked me the other day, have you finished with that? Are you ready to give it back?
Like, no, Dad. No.
maybe. But, you know, we do try different, like, guitars. Like, he's given me so many, like, different guitars over the years, just try it out, see if you like it, and if I don't, I just give it back. And I think that's a really nice way to be with
guitarists. It's a great relation. Yeah. It's a great relationship with your dad that way too. Yeah. Has your dad got lots of guitars? Has he got a huge collection?
Yeah. In fact, the other day he sent me one. He found one. I can't remember what it was, but he just sent me the link and said, can you go and buy this for me?
Oh, nice.
It was about 2 hours drive away at a Cash Converters, and it was a particular type of guitar that he's been looking for. Yeah.
So I
wasn't able to do it, but yeah.
Well, you know, it's be a proud thing for your dad as well to have his daughter, you know, kind of into the same things that he is. That's, you know, he's a proud daddy moment, you know.
Yes.
So,
and
I
through
love
COVID,
that.
Through COVID, we were writing songs together as well.
Oh, beautiful.
And unfortunately, the one that I play it in my sets, but it didn't make it to the record this time. It wasn't for that I didn't want him on the record. It was just that it didn't fit.
I get it. It'd be too different away from what you've already got in you with your other songs, kind of.
And he's pretty amazing. He writes stuff all the time and sends it to me and says, so as he does with his guitars, he's like, do you want this? Do you like it? And sometimes I'm like,
how cool is that?
No, not that one. No, not that one. And then, you know, recently he sent me one and I went, oh, that's actually got something that might work for me. He was really lovely, and he said to me after I released my album, he said, Becky, I've listened to all of your songs and I think I understand you now.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, you can't hide from a song lyric, can you?
Yeah, I guess that's the truth. But you kind of can. Like, I think there are lots of artists that can as well.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like to hide in my song. I like to be quite truthful. But at the same time, I want to try to paint pictures and lean into experiences, I guess, it's my art form, it's how I express myself, and for me it's the safest place that I express myself. It always has been.
Yeah, from, like I said, I get that too.
From the get-go, it's I just love it. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, what's not to love, you know, that this lifestyle is just fantastic, isn't it? Just love it. And now what genre of music would you say that your originals fit into? And I'm not trying to put you in a box, but, you know, just to give the listeners an idea.
Yeah, of course. I call myself a soul singer. Mm-hmm. And I write soul music. So there's a big, I think the question around that in this country can be, what does that mean, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And ideally, well, not ideally, but historically it's Black American.
Yeah.
And it's a would you call it a descendant? No, I wouldn't call it that. It's more like a music.
A natural progression from blues and jazz.
Correct.
And soul.
Well, gospel. It comes from gospel.
Yes.
So gospel has, you know, where we have that beautiful tones and scales.
Yes.
That
yes.
They, you know, were how you expressed your feelings towards something greater than you are, right?
Yes.
And then, you know, and from there, blues came. And then blues was sort of the same thing, but just a little bit darker. It was like, you know, you sell your soul to the devil when you play the blues, right? So it's the other side. It's, you know, you could have these elated songs. Oh, sorry, songs of elation. Mm-hmm, is that the right word? Elation, yeah. And be, you know, go to the happy promised land, but then you play the blues, which just adds this minor and bender
the
tones.
Note.
Yep, the devil's note.
The
right?
devil's note, yeah.
And,
the
tritone. Yeah, and so that just changed everything. And then, you know, I don't want to go through the whole of history of music, but I was raised on Black American music. My mum loves Black American music and particularly soul singers and singers with that rich warmth and an expression that is unmatched in a way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But what is, you know, and then as we grow, it becomes like, well, what is it? What is it that makes that person like, you know, Luther Vandross or Aretha Franklin be the queen of soul? Well, there was no one like Aretha Franklin who was just able to tap into her authenticity with those tones. And, you know, even Whitney Houston, I mean, Whitney was bagged out by the Black community. She was, they were like sort of push, like making her an outlander.
Yeah.
By, you know, the type of music that she made. But then when I hear her sing even I Will Always Love You, there's a soul spirit in her that comes through.
Absolutely.
So when I think about my own music, I tap into that. I tap into my authenticity. I tap into my history. And it can be a little bit confusing because I'm Australian and I was also brought up on, you know, the side of stages of our rock legends like you know, Jimmy and Richard and, you know, Australian Crawl and all those incredible iconic bands. So,
as a blues lover myself, it's within you. Comes from another time and place, but it's in you and it always has been. So whether that offshoots to gospel or even rock and roll, that basis there is those tones and those warmth and you know, the call and response thing as well. And Yeah. You know, it just once it gets its hooks into you, it never leaves you.
Yeah, and I really think that touching people with your talent and your craft is part of it as well, where
absolutely,
you know, like where you connect rather than touching, but connecting with mm-hmm. with the stories of the heart, and stories of heartbreak, and stories of loss, and then the stories of joy. Like, I actually sing a lot about joy and love. I really love. I'm obsessed with it. you know, and even, you know, being flirty, like in energy, and diving into that side of being human. You know.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. And
yeah. Well, listen, we've got your EP or your single of Breathe here.
Yeah.
So I think we should put that on. And I do know that it's very beautiful. How would you describe this song?
Well, I would like to share with you and listeners my vision, I suppose, for it. So mm-hmm. going into this song, this song came about from diving into meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I loved learning a little bit more about it, and then I also got into bushwalking.
Nice.
as a way of you know, energizing, relaxing, healing, all the different things that we need in as we grow. And
yes.
And it started quite differently. I wrote it on the piano, and I kind of struggled with it. There was something that I couldn't quite get the lyrics that I had to fit, but I kept coming back to it. So it was one of those songs where I started it, and sometimes you start something and you let it go, and it's like, not worth it. But this one, I just kept coming back. I was like, I quite like this. I want to keep pushing on it. And then COVID happened. And I didn't see my mum for about 12 weeks. And then when I did, I brought my guitar with me, and as a way to, you know, form that connection again with mum, seeing each other again. She was quite sad. She lives alone and, you know, struggling. Anybody living on their own during COVID was, I think,
struggling
in some ways that people with families just wouldn't even comprehend.
Yes,
And it was really difficult. And so I was like, we'll have a sing together. It'd be great. And I brought this song, and I said, Mum, can you help me with this? And Mum's done quite a lot of meditation in her life as well. And we rubbed out all the lyrics except for the hook stuff that I like. The melody was there and everything about it was there, so I co-wrote this with my mum. And then when I went into the studio, the brief that I gave Declan, my co-producer, was I wanted it to feel like you're in the forest.
How beautiful.
I wanted it to feel like it felt when I was on my walks. So you'll hear the journey of it. It has lots of textural sounds in it,
mm-hmm.
and there's some wafty sounds that bring in the kinds of sounds of leaves rustling in the trees, and perhaps water or birds and creatures you know.
Yeah.
And so that was always where we landed when we were recording it, and we're so proud of this track. We worked really hard on it to create that feeling of going within and being soft with yourself and just tapping into the truth, I guess, of who you are.
Yeah.
And we all learnt, I think we all learnt parts of that in lockdown. The whole world,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Beck, I think we'll take a moment now and we'll listen to Breathe.
Thank you.
Everything's okay. Time to begin softly tapping into the
fun. Do you know, I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you this evening.
Me too.
Oh, you're welcome. So, such a wonderful lady, and you've done so much, so inspiring.
Oh, very inspiring. Thank you.
I think so, yes.
Shout out to me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Shout out to Mum and Dad. And what we'll do is you've sent me some links, so I'm going to put those in the description of the show so that people can see where they can purchase your music and see you at a gig somewhere along the line.
Yeah. And I printed the album to vinyl. So if there's any vinyl fans out there, this will be one for the collection that's new.
You know what? I'm sure there is, because it's making a big resurgence, isn't it, albums?
It's a really lovely way to listen to music. It's what brings the nostalgia.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't have to look it up online. You have to pull it out of the sleeve and put it on the player and listen to it through either shitty speakers or really good speakers, you know.
Something great about doing that, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. The feel. I mean, I just love that I've done this in my lifetime. If it's the only time I do it, yay, and hopefully not. Hopefully I get to do more.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on all that you've achieved, and I definitely know that you will achieve more. And
you're so wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you. Sometimes I can be wonderful.
I've really enjoyed this interview. It's really, really great. And thank you all so much for listening and coming on the energy journey.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Beck, I hope to see you around the traps.
Oh, me too, and you.
Okay, well.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you too. And we'll say good night.
Good night,
Beck. See you, darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And you have been listening to The Conversation with Beck Jensen. What an absolutely gorgeous lady she is, and so very, very talented. Until next time, please join me for next week when I have another wonderful guest for you. Until then, please stay safe, stay happy, stay cool, and stay awesome. And please stay tuned to this channel. Good night.